Examining the Presidential Candidates in Light of Biblical Teachings. By Sandy Schwark, BSN, RN, Retired Emeritus. Copyright Schwark 2024. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Minus Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11. The word elegcho means censure them, show them to be wrong. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Minus John chapter 3 verse 20. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Minus John chapter 1 verse 5. For this reason God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. Minus 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 1-12. My journey in discernment showed to me that we are in the midst of a spiritual battle for our souls and for our country like never before. There was one discovery that changed everything for me and made me realize, in the pit of my stomach and the bottom of my heart, that this election was the most critical one in my life if we hope to preserve our country and our faith. The Bible teaches us to shine light on evil and, in John, Jesus teaches that evil hides in darkness. People doing wrong don't want us to know the truth and do everything possible to keep it from us, including censoring information and destroying those who might speak honestly. The vehemence of those attempts of deception and repression also helps us recognize when something isn't right and good. Jesus taught believers to expose harmful ideologies and unrighteous acts of the scribes and Pharisees, calling them hypocrites 6 times in Matthew chapter 23 alone. God also told Christians we are to expose false teachers, be warriors for Christ, defend the faith, and protect the innocent and vulnerable. So, I must share with you what I learned. The greatest enemies of totalitarians and globalists are truth and light. Globalism is essentially the vision of a one-world government run by a select group of elite. There is a difference between globalism in its global rule vision, and globalization of working together, international trade of goods and services, and caring about peoples around the world, helping the poor and missionary work. The Bible helped me understand globalism in a way I never had before. If it becomes a reality, it is exactly everything Scripture warned against. The modern globalism movement has been evolving for well over a century. Klaus Schwab, founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, has currently positioned himself and WEF as a commandant in the One World Order plan. His vision for the future is leading the world to global totalitarianism. WEF is an international organization of the world's most politically powerful and wealthiest business capitalists. While the entire class of billionaires are only 0.00004% of the global population and total only about 2,781 people, WEF members are the elite among those. The top 25 members and BlackRock have a combined $20 trillion in assets. Minus more than the GDP of every nation in the world except the United States. WEF is headquartered in Geneva, Switzerland, with offices in New York, Beijing, Tokyo, San Francisco, and Mumbai. The upper elite members are invited to its annual meetings at the Swiss ski resort of Davos. According to WEF's archives, these exclusive meetings were named Davos after Harvard University political scientist Samuel P. Huntington, who coined the term Davos Man. Huntington defined Davos Man as a global elite, a minority, who have little need for national loyalty, view national boundaries as obstacles that thankfully are vanishing, and see national governments as residues from the past whose only useful function is to facilitate the elite's global operations. Quote, WEF laid out its plan in 1997 and has been quite open about it. Professor Schwab defined globalism as an ideology that prioritizes the neoliberal global order over national interests. Translation. Globalism is a belief that eliminates countries and the best interests of sovereign nations to impose a new global rule of liberal, progressive ideologies controlled by an elite group of capitalists to benefit themselves and grow their sphere of control. Schwab and WEF have been frank about their agendas, discussions, ideology, and master plans to reshape the world. Everything is shared on its public website, in books and articles, and broadcast interviews. Yet the conflicted media has successfully relegated it to conspiracy theory for decades. Labeling someone a conspiracy theorist is a quick way to shut down any discussion. That's also been an effective technique used by the globalist-funded media to deter much of the public from learning what's really going on, and to suppress and censor free speech talking about it. They might have been able to keep most of the populace unaware of their goals longer if they hadn't overplayed their cards with COVID-19. Still, to focus on WEF alone, as concerning as it is, would miss understanding the full story. Globalism is bigger and goes back much farther than 1971, the year WEF was founded by German engineer and economist Schwab. It's a fight for our souls, our faith, and everything in life that Americans and all free countries cherish. The globalists are more accurately called oligarchs, which refers to tyrannical or despotic rule by a small elite wealthy group that achieves political and social control of finance and banking, energy, food, health, personal identities and information, critical industries, infrastructures, education, technology, communications, and every aspect of people's lives. They've commanded control primarily through the United Nations, a massive entity run by its General Assembly which sets policies, along with its other main governing bodies, multiple agencies, including World Health Organization, World Bank Group and World Trade Organization, and organizations with it, government partners and non-taxable foundations they fund. The sheer level of malevolence, deception, and extent these oligarchs have been willing to go to advance anti-human, anti-God, anti-family ideologies and grow their financial and political empires and sphere of control is so unthinkable, it's not surprising they were able to keep the information from the vast majority of Americans for nearly a century. Fear, war and social upheaval, pandemics, starvation, genocide and eugenics, false planetary crises, economic collapse, propaganda, nothing is out of realm to bring the world to their vision of a Marxist-like totalitarian control under these stakeholder capitalists, as Seamus Bruner, director of research at the Government Accountability Institute, has investigated. Please support the Virginia Christian Alliance website and community center. We would appreciate your donation. Communism, Marxism, socialism, progressivism, liberalism is from the same fountainhead, wrote Pastor Glenn Adams in a poignant alert to Christians, churches, and pastors. Their God is a big, repressive totalitarian government. It is the very opposite of our constitutional form of government. That should wake the church up. We are acting like we want bondage more than freedom. Christians, free entrepreneurial markets, capitalism, and our constitution are hated by the progressives, he said, who want people dependent on a big repressive government that lures people with free stuff. But all that free stuff comes with a price. Control, and much worse. The globalists hope a naive populace won't understand history. Stalin murdered 25 million people, Mao Zedong massacred 65 million, and communism, Marxism, progressive ideologies by whatever name is used have failed every single time and place they've been tried. It is impossible to make a Christian case for socialism or Marxism or fascism or any tyrannical regime by any book or teaching in the Bible. Social justice and Marxism are contrary to Christianity and Bible study. The beginnings of global totalitarianism ideology, regardless of what's called global order, one world order, globalism, oligarchy, whatever, is actually as old as civilization. Plato, 427-347 BC, in ancient Greece was the earliest designer of collectivism and the welfare state. His complex philosophy held that an ideal government had two classes, aristocratic rulers and those they govern, and that the aristocratic class were born with special qualities that were passed down through the ruling families. Under Plato's socialized nationalism concept, labor was under the state's management, property was held by the state, and all production was nationalized. In contrast, America is a nation of free people where the state is a servant of man. Fast forward more than millennium to scientism, an ideology that began with French philosophers Henri de Saint-Simon, 1760-1825, and Augustine Comte, 1798-1857, who believed that all truth, knowledge and understanding of the world comes from science. Only elite scientists and intellectual academics were believed to hold special knowledge that was not understood by ordinary people. Scientism gave rise to technocracy in the 1930s, in which technocrats imagined a materialistic utopian society where they, the elite experts, would be in control. From these philosophies evolved Friedrich Nietzsche's master-slave morality, who originated the term God is dead, Karl Marx's communism, Giovanni Gentile's fascism, and all the other variations of collectivism and totalitarianism where individuals are subordinated to the state. This is a greatly simplification of the long sordid, controversial, disturbed and convoluted history of these false ideologies and their progression to totalitarian globalism. The ultra-wealthy, international financial bankers, capitalists and aristocratic families that embraced these ideologies saw themselves as governing the world. The one-world utopia they envisioned was not the nation under God that Christ blesses in the Bible. These ideologies had another thing in common: God did not exist. More troubling, the early wealthiest industrial capitalist families in America, Rockefeller, Carnegie, Ford, all supported and funded population control and eugenics. The Rockefeller Foundation, established in 1913 to advance social change, actually helped establish Germany's eugenics program and funded programs tied with Adolf Hitler and Joseph Mengele. John Rockefeller, III, established the Population Council in 1952 as a eugenics program to reduce the world's population. His Population Council philanthropy and population mission was quickly joined by the Ford Foundation and other powerful ultra-wealthy foundations, the early globalists. As hard as it is to believe, eugenics is an actual globalist agenda. The Population Council, and its vast partners, has been a major influence behind 70 years of globalist agendas, and its goals were adopted as part of the UN's Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, climate change, environmental justice, gender equity, and reproductive rights. They anticipated the populace would actually believe their false ideologies minus climate change, environment, social justice, gender equity, and reproductive rights, and never imagined they were simply to further their culture of death. This is the same Population Council that held the license to manufacture Mifeprex, also known as the abortion pill, in the US and got the FDA to approve it for chemical abortions in 1996, under accelerated approval for restrictive use, even though the Population Council failed to provide randomized controlled clinical trial evidence for safety and efficacy, as required by federal statutes. It still hasn't to this day. Early leaders in the abortion and reproductive health movement were openly eugenicists and made no secret that their goals were targeted against minorities and poor, society's undesirables, and useless eaters. Every additional person on the planet increases carbon emissions, states Population Matters, and if we are to succeed in preventing the worst effects of climate change, we must take action to address population size. As Dr. John Gideon Hartnett at Bible Science Forum wrote, "We are the carbon they intend to eliminate." Globalist ideologies have yet another thing in common, anti-life. One world leaders have done everything possible to malign, name-call, twist the US Constitution, revise history, cast doubt and depart from scripture. Globalists have openly admitted that only two key groups of people can stop them from their goal of taking global power. Bible-believing Christians and patriotic Americans. National sovereignty and free democratic republics are the enemy of those who want to take that from the people. Christians who hold to biblical teachings are the enemy of those who preach false doctrines and want us to follow false ideologies. Globalists have made no secret that Mr. Trump is not one of them. The World Economic Forum wrote in their 2016 agenda papers how they were taken by surprise, had missed the mark in underappreciating the strength and resiliency of American religion after the election surprise, when President Trump was first elected. Their blind spot, they wrote, was misreading a decline in Americans identifying with specific religions, with loss of faith. They'd also mistakenly dismissed what they called flyover territory, but learned 21 of those 27 states had voted for President Trump. Their advice to secular investors was not to ignore religion. Perhaps, that helps to explain the rise of fake purported Christian groups campaigning for Biden and the more recent ones for Harris, such as Evangelicals for Harris. That's a for-profit campaign of environmentalist Reverend Jim Ball, who's become a veritable one-person newsfeed. Jesus reminded us in Matthew that not everyone who talks of him are his followers and recognized by him. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?" And then will I declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Matthew chapter 7 verses 21 to 23. Then there's the new movement against Christian nationalism. Historian William J. Federer explained that the term Christian nationalist is a recent made-up term meant to be derogatory towards Americans. Nationalism is about country, which is the opposite of globalism, and that won't do. It's really that simple. It used to be called patriotism, and Christian patriotism was something past presidents of both parties once encouraged, he said. The term actually didn't show up until Donald Trump entered politics, which explains why it's primarily used to denigrate President Trump supporters and call them names. Now, anyone white, Christian, and patriotic is made out to be a threat. Those proud of the exceptionalism that America once was and know that, on balance, America has been a source for good in the world, are now marked as white supremacists or Christian nationalists. It's exceptional because God is the one who is significantly blessing America because of its presumed Christian roots and its ongoing allegiance to God, said Professor Sean McDowell during a recent Biola University Talbot School of Theology podcast discussing Christian nationalism. Now Christian patriotism is being equated with right-wing extremists who are racist, sexist, and just all-round deplorable. One such effort of maligning American patriotism is called Christians Against Christian Nationalism. It's a project of Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty. BJC has a platform indistinguishable from that of Freedom From Religion Foundation, a tax-exempt organization that says it works as a state church watchdog and voice for atheism and agnosticism. BJC's efforts have included opposing crosses and the Ten Commandments in public spaces, filing amicus briefs against a baker for following his religious beliefs and against President Trump's White House for restricting illegal immigration, and leading efforts to organize over 100 denominations and some 5,000 faith leaders to exclude political discussions in houses of worship and charitable organizations. BJC itself takes donations claiming it's a tax-exempt religious organization. One of the main nonprofits fighting against anti-religion and anti-American freedom groups is Alliance Defending Freedom. America has had support from around the world, brave men of faith who've been willing to sacrifice everything to shine the light on globalism. Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano was one of the early ones speaking out, and he suffered harsh consequences as a result, and was excommunicated by globalist Pope Francis. Archbishop Vigano wrote a message to Americans at Christmastime in 2021, saying, "Be proud of your identity as American patriots and of the faith that must animate your life. Do not allow anyone to make you feel inferior just because you love your homeland, because you are honest at work, because you want to protect your family and raise your children with healthy values, because you respect the elderly, because you protect life from conception to its natural end. Do not be intimidated or seduced by those who propagate a dystopian world in which a faceless power imposes on you contempt for the law of God, presents sin and vice as licit and desirable, despises righteousness and morality, destroys the natural family and promotes the worst perversions, plans the death of defenseless and weak creatures, and exploits humanity for its own profit or to preserve power. So also today your commitment to the moral rebirth of the United States of America, one nation under God, will have the blessing of our Lord and will gather those who govern you around you. Amen. May God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America. Many have recognized what has been going on and the dangers America and the free world face. But one discovery made me understand that this election may be the last hope for our country. This critical issue continues in Part 11.